Do you mind me asking, like, where did you go and how did you end up there? Because I started on Twitter because that was my favorite platform. The search functionality and being able to find all of these people with IBD, it was brilliant and I loved it. But now, you know, Instagram seems to be the place to be, but I still don't really like Instagram. I don't like that I have to have a photograph to upload. I want to say something. I don't always want to have a picture with it. Do you know what I mean? But there are a lot of advocates on there.
Yeah, I mean, I mainly get mine through Instagram and actually recently as well, TikTok. A lot of my knowledge and things is through that. But in terms of written ones, the only other one, actually, there's a couple of people who pop up on my LinkedIn sometimes, but particularly with patient advocacy.
Yeah.
And that's a lot more written.
Yeah.
But also things about treatment options that are available, trials that are happening, and how the network of IBD patients and things, how it's progressing, that I do get through that through more of kind of LinkedIn platforms, which is interesting. I just want to ask what your hopes are.
My hopes for treatment, do you think?
Hopes for treatment, hopes for the community, hopes for people, younger people who are yet to be diagnosed or become diagnosed.
Do you know what? There are new treatments coming. There are new treatments coming all of the time. And actually, like, I have alerts on. And if I read every single article about a new treatment coming, I would be reading them all the time. There are always things in the pipeline. You know, not all of these things do actually get to a stage where they've gone through all the trials and we end up with them. But new treatments are coming all of the time, which is great. It means people get to exhaust a lot more options before, you know, they get to the last chance saloon of surgery. I would like to see less side effects. I think we are beginning to see less use of steroids now than when I was diagnosed, because that was just something that just kept being pumped into people. And I feel like we use steroids less. So that's a good thing. I'd like to see more advocacy. And I don't care whether it's healthcare professionals or patients, or when you were just talking about like information and where you get it from, and I find a lot of it quite scary because Instagram, you know, you can have these, I was going to say micro influencers, but some of them have got massive followings, and you'll find these IBD influencers, but they're not, whilst they hold all of this influence, and that's the scary thing, they don't realize how much people are believing what they say. Like, if they don't have the knowledge, that scares me. I would like to see more training for advocates, just to make people a little bit more sensible with the information that they put out there.
Yeah.
Because it scares me sometimes what I see people write, these influencers are writing or sharing the incorrect information. I keep seeing people talking about having Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis in one person. And I know that that's not possible. But it's not worth the argument a lot of the time. Like, I don't have those arguments with people, but it really, really does scare me, the information that those influencers are putting out there.
Do you have a top tip for me?
I just think, for me, the most important thing for somebody that's been recently diagnosed with IBD to understand is that the mind and the body are connected 100% of the time, and that they know it, we know it better than a doctor knows it.
Have confidence. Have confidence in your body and advocate for yourself and what your body is feeling.
Exactly.
Yeah, I second that. I absolutely second that. I think that's so important. We know it better than anyone else. So speak for it. Shout about it.
Or get your mum to do it.
or get your mum to do it.
How many times have you got quite excited that there's a media article and they're finally talking about inflammatory bowel disease online, but then they've actually just swapped and changed the word so it's irritable bowel disease or something instead?
And you always, I find as well, you often get people saying, oh, have you tried this diet, or, you know, oh, you know, this or that. So where have you got this information from? It's like, oh, my friend has irritable bowel syndrome. I'm like, oh, well, that's not what is going on. And I think there is, unfortunately, I do think it's because the acronyms are so close. It's a very, if you yeah. said ulcerative colitis or Crohn's or irritable bowel syndrome, they are very different. But just because IBS, IBD, people really mix the two and two together, and it's such yeah. a pet peeve.
Even when you say them as full words, like irritable bowel syndrome and inflammatory bowel disease, if you say them slowly, if you break them down and consider what each word means, it's quite yeah. clear that they're very different things. But actually, in day-to-day life, the amount of times I've said to someone, oh yeah, I've got inflammatory bowel disease, and they've been like, oh yeah, my sister has that, and then they start talking about something that makes it very clear they think I'm talking about IBS.
Yeah, exactly.
I share your frustration.
But I mean, particularly it's compounded with primary care physicians and particularly with GPs, you know, even like I remember at points I was going to pharmacists being like, the GP is just saying I have IBS, but something's not right, really trying to do everything and being referred to nutritionists all before anyone has actually looked inside me. It was that thing of, I remember my mum just saying, just tell them to do a colonoscopy, just tell them. And I think particularly as a young woman, I mean, I found this in all sorts of my life, I don't know if you do as well, advocating for yourself, particularly with healthcare professionals, and that thing of they're the doctors, they know best.